We have a very familiar story in our gospel lesson this morning, the story of the prodigal son, or the wasteful son, or the whatever you want to call it, the parable of the two sons. It's got all kinds of names, and it's very well known. It's well known enough that it appears in popular culture that has very little to do with the church, and it's well known because it's memorable. And as I was thinking about this text and the various texts we have this Sunday, the thing that struck me again, as it frequently does, is in this story of these two sons, two children, which one are we? And that's where the sermon title comes from, which child are we? And I was going to say, what son are we? But I wanted to make sure that nobody felt they were left out. Didn't want to get into any of this gender stuff that sometimes gets in the way because we don't have the benefit of a nice neutral pronoun. But so who are these two sons, these two children? Well, one's a wastrel who has no sense of connection to family, who doesn't treat elders with respect, or for that matter, the family with respect in any way, shape, or form. And we can see that because when the son left, he didn't just leave, he took everything he had. This is somebody who is leaving and not intending on coming back. If you're intending on coming back, that's when you leave your stuff at your parents' place, just in case. And he certainly had no sense of that when he left. He took it all and was never coming back. And the other is a sanctimonious whatnot who has a deep and well-developed sense of his own importance and what he's done and all of that. And neither one of these very brief descriptions, I don't think, are inaccurate, but they're somewhat limited. And when we think of these two sons, and when we think of where we might fit in this story, because that's one of the things that Jesus' parables do, is they provide a place for us to look at ourselves through the lens of what's happening in a particular parable, and this one perhaps even more than most. And it's tempting for us to think that we are one or the other. And what I'd like us to think about this morning is that really, we're both of them. And we are both of them. Not we were one and now we're the other, or we were one or the other and now we're neither. I'm pretty sure that both of them have resonances that we can connect with even now. If it's not the case, I'm not going, don't try and find something that isn't there or manufacture something that doesn't fit you. But when we look at this story from our perspective, what I think we see is how closely we resemble both of these sons, but at different times and in different ways. We look at the first son, and we find it easy to look down on him, because he's drawn in such broad strokes. And I mean, parables tend not to be filled with nuance and subtlety, because the idea is to get to the heart of the matter right away. And so we have somebody who tells his father that he wants his share of the inheritance. At least some commentators suggest that this is an insult beyond what we can understand, because it more or less says, well, I wish you were dead, and you're not, so I can't inherit yet, but give it to me anyway. So we have that. The son takes all of this inheritance and then everything else he had before, goes off for a distant country, and then squanders his wealth in wild living, as they put it in this translation. He spends everything he has. And hardly any of us, I suspect, have done that same kind of thing. I've never run across someone who's done this exact thing. But when we put ourselves into the parable and we start trying to expand it to see what Jesus might be saying for us here, what I see is, and I speak primarily for me, and you can fill it in as you see fit, in your own perspective, is the wasting of the gifts that I was given when I was younger. And I look primarily when I was younger because, in a very real sense, I wasted a lot of things that I had. I grew up in a, as I'm sure you know by now, a never been terribly reticent about using myself as an example. Primarily bad, but sometimes good. I grew up in a home of faith. My parents both attended church because they believed deeply in what church stood for, not just because of they wanted to show off to someone or anything of that nature. We talked about spiritual things in the home. There was never a time I didn't know that my parents loved God. And they gave me a godly heritage. They took me to church. Well, sometimes they forced me to go to church because I was young and wanted to do other things. And through that, I learned lots about the Bible. And I wasted, at least at one point in my life, I would have said I wasted all of it. I had no connection with God in any meaningful sense until my middle 20s. And I lived a life, even though I lived at home, and even though in the midst of all this I still attended church, I lived a life where God was at best an afterthought and certainly not a current reality. And so all of these good things that had been given to me, some financial, like some real, I wasted my money on foolish things and wish I had that money back. But even more than that, I wasted my abilities, the things that I could have done and could have done for good, I used in other ways. I have an ability to speak, and I didn't use it to build people up, I used it to tear them down fairly often. And so I look at this and I say, well, yeah, that was me. And the temptation, of course, is then to flip over and then for us to take on the experience of the older brother and look down on others as he does, and to look down on ourselves. And so what we end up doing is we become both brothers at once, and we look down on our younger, wasteful selves. Well, neither one of these are helpful, particularly when we realize that the experience of being the wasteful son is not necessarily just in the past. I can still waste what I have, and I do, at least now and then. I can waste the opportunities that have been given to me by not paying close enough attention to them, by not thinking they're as important as they actually are. I can waste the abilities that I have, and now that I do have a meaningful and authentic and real relationship with God, I can even waste my spiritual gifts by not exercising when those opportunities are there. I can still be that first son. And even back when I was being as wasteful could be, I had aspects of that second, the older son in me as well, because I can remember clearly looking down on other people, looking at what they had and saying, ha, they don't deserve that. I should have that. I should have those opportunities. I should have those possibilities. We're always a mixture of both, which is something that I don't think we really like to face up to or admit. And maybe it's not the case for you. I don't live your life, and I'm not inside your heads. But even at my sort of middle years, I've talked to enough people to realize that we have aspects of both of these. That there's something in us that wants the easy way out, that wants everything that we will get at the conclusion, because that's what the younger son wanted. He wanted what he would inherit at the end of his father's productive life. He wanted it now. We want it now. We don't want to wait. We don't want to wait until the appropriate time for things. We want them when we want them, which tends to be immediately. We still have that now. We don't want to put in the work that it takes to become the best whatever we're working on we can be. And we still give in to these temptations to look at other people that we've seen taking these shortcuts that perhaps we would have liked to have taken but didn't or couldn't. And we say, what are they doing here? Whether it's in the church or whether it's somewhere else, and we say, like, why do they get that? Why don't we? Well, we can look at the parable of the lost son. We can reshape it into the parable of the lost sons, because obviously there's something amiss with the older one as well. And we can then take upon ourselves both characteristics, and we can look to see where they are in our lives, because they probably are. But if we do that and stop there, we've missed the point of the parable. And all we've done is given ourselves more ammunition to beat ourselves up with, which most of us do fairly well already. Because we can't forget the Father. What we see in these brief words about the Father is this open-armed, open-handed generosity that says, a child is a child. That relationship transcends whatever the child does. We find it hard to believe, sometimes because of our own experience. Perhaps our own upbringing wasn't as good as we would like. Perhaps as we've observed it in other people, where being a child turned out not to be a permanent kind of thing. And relationships have been ruptured, and it seems perhaps forever. What Jesus is telling us in this parable is that it doesn't matter which child we are, which son we particularly identify with at this particular moment. But God comes to both. He's running out to meet the prodigal son, the one who wasted everything. It's maybe more dramatic, but it's no less profound than his coming out to the older son who didn't want to come in and join the celebration. God comes to us where we are, not where he wants us to be, or even where we want to be, but where we are. We find that hard to believe sometimes. There's this deep sense for many of us that we need to clean ourselves up so God will come to us. And it doesn't work that way. And it doesn't work that way because God doesn't want to wait that long. And what we see in this story is the two sides of God. Because he waited for the lost son to figure out he was lost, to come back before he ran to him. But when he comes out to the older son doesn't seem to have realized anything about himself. I don't think the older son, when I read this, I don't see anything in here that suggests that he's aware of how he is dismissing his father's generosity and grace. And not just dismissing it, but if you read between the lines, what he's saying is that his father is unjust and unfair. And his father, who should have done good things for him, didn't, and didn't do them on purpose, but is doing things for this useless younger brother of his, who he doesn't even talk, he doesn't even describe as a brother. He says, your son. But God, in the form of the father in this story, comes out to him, even though he hasn't come to any realization that he needs his father to come out. And to me, in some ways, that's the best part of the story for me now. When I was younger, the image of God running to me, when I finally figured out how lost I was and moved back, came back, or came for the first time, the persistence of God's grace is too big a topic for us to try and manage today. But when I was younger, that image of God running towards me when I was coming back was the one that spoke the most to me. And it's not that it doesn't speak to me yet, because it certainly does. But at this stage of my life, when I often find myself being sanctimonious, when I often find myself looking at other people's experience and saying, why did they get that? They don't deserve that. God coming to the older son, God coming to me, and saying, that doesn't matter. These things that you're looking at, these things that you're focusing on, these things that you're seeing that you don't have, are irrelevant because of what you do have. For me, in these days, that's the image that sometimes strikes me speechless. That God, who is well aware of the fact that I have allowed myself to forget that he ran to me when I was coming back after being lost, and has poured goodness upon goodness and grace upon grace upon me, and I've forgotten all those as I've looked through the eyes of avarice and jealousy at other people's gifts or possessions or whatever station in life, whatever it might be. That's the image that really feeds me these days. But I'm both. We're all both. We look at this story, and it's easy for us, as I said, to pick one or the other. And we will resonate more strongly, I suspect, with one or the other at various points in our life. But isn't it good to know that we're both? That God, that this Father, through love, not through requirement, not through a sense of responsibility, not to keep up appearances with the neighbors, because running out to a lost son, or for that matter, going out to a petulant one, was not the sign of a respectful relationship by any means. But the Father went out to his children because he loved them. And that was why. And when we look at ourselves and put ourselves into this story, God comes to us just as much. And he comes to us because he loves us. In this Lenten season, as we prepare for the Passion Week and then Easter Sunday, as we remind ourselves the depth of love that God has for us in the sacrifice of his own Son, this story reminds us that God comes to us wherever we are, wasteful, sanctimonious, it doesn't matter. And he comes to us because he loves us. Amen.